mirror. It reminds me that life's evening sun is sinking low. Every time I see a bald head, it reminds me that life's evening sun is sinking low. Every time I see a gray head, it reminds me that life's evening sun is sinking low. When I discern that some of us are like Uncle Joe, we are moving kind of slow. I'm convinced that life's evening sun is sinking low. Every time I make a doctor's visit, whether it be my primary care physician, whether it be my cardiologist, my ophthalmologist, my oncologist, my podiatrist, whoever it is, it reminds me and it reminds us that life's evening sun is sinking low. I'm reminded of that cogent fact as well whenever I have a prescription fill and whenever I pop my pills in the morning and in the evening. I recognize that life's evening sun is sinking low. Every time I give myself an interferon injection, it reminds me that life's evening sun is sinking low. Every time I discuss with my brother Abraham how he's doing, and when he tells me, he said, "Jones, I'm not feeling too well today. But I'm hanging in there." He had somebody to preach for him twice today. But he said, "I was there." And he maintains a very positive spirit and attitude. We don't like to be reminded of the fact that life's evening sun is sinking low. Whenever a pain strikes us in the back, in the knee, in the hip, and wherever else pains might strike, it reminds us that life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go. Should behoove all of us to prepare for that eventuality and face the reality associated with deteriorating health. But we should receive encouragement and experience joy to recognize that though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be a Christian, to be a child of God, and to have your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters, in the hands of the man who calmed the sea, in the hands of the man from Galilee? He has assured us, "Lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." So good to be back this evening. We call your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Brother Prowl read for us, Brother Clifford Prowl, First Timothy chapter 6, he started at verse number 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you to keep your finger here and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. First, I want us to look at verses 3 and 4, and then verses 22 through 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Then we want to move over to verses 22 through 26. Thou therefore, this is 2 Timothy 2, 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And let's look at verse 5 as well. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Then go on to verse 26. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I'd like to talk to you for just a few minutes about life as a soldier for those who are Christians. We used to sing years ago, "I'm in the Lord's army." That's still true, whether we recognize it or not, whether we can appreciate it or not. When you obey the gospel of Christ and become a child of God, when your obedience to Christ initially culminates in your baptism in water for the remission of your sins, you become simultaneously enrolled in the army of the Lord. Think along with me as we use that as a specific title of our lesson, a triple charge to a soldier heart. A triple charge to a soldier heart. When I give reference to a triple charge, we see the essence of this trifold or triple charge in the context of our scripture lesson tonight. Paul refers to Timothy as a man of God. He was a minister of the gospel. He was an evangelist. But in reality, every man in the body is a man of God. And if you're not a man of God, you are a woman of God. And you are enrolled in the Lord's army, whether you're male or female. You know, for years it wasn't in vogue for women to enlist in military service and to serve their country and to go out on the battlefield and to fly fighter jets and to go behind enemy lines and to carry weapons and to work side by side as fellow soldiers with the males. But things have changed. Because now women are operating in every basic soldiering capacity that used to be reserved for men. And some have proven themselves, many have proven themselves to be worthy fighters. Some have proved themselves to be tough. Some have demonstrated that they can hang with the toughest of the men who are on the battlefield. You know, we sing that song, "I'm a hard fighting soldier on the battlefield." Yeah, we need to be hard fighting soldiers, but we don't need to be careless soldiers or foolish soldiers or reckless soldiers. There are three specific charges that are issued to those who are soldiers in the context of our lesson. And I'm going to mention them specifically in just a moment, but there were eight boys, and there are eight boys in our family, and I almost was drafted during the Vietnam era. As a matter of fact, I had received my orders to go check in. And I was up here in Nashville, Tennessee at the time, and I went home to Marigold, Mississippi, and went to Cleveland, Mississippi at the local board. And I was a little apprehensive, but I was ready, albeit I confess with some measure of reluctance, to go ahead and do the bidding of Uncle Sam and go to Memphis to get all of the initial paperwork and the physical exam done. But When I went to the local board and told them I'm here, I'm ready to get on the bus, I'm ready to go to Memphis, they said, "You're what?" I said, "I'm ready to go." They said, "You didn't get our letter?" I said, "What letter?" They say, "We sent a letter to you rescinding that order. You don't have to go now because the Vietnam War was winding down." You know what I said? Oh, man! It's not what I said. Praise the Lord! Oh, I never was so happy. I almost felt like skipping all the way back to Nashville because I didn't have to go. But I was willing to go. And it might have done me some good to go. But my brother Abraham, he did go, and he went to Vietnam. As a matter of fact, he is the only preacher I know personally who not only served on the battlefield in the actual Vietnam War and had some very close calls, but he demonstrated his commitment as a soldier in the Lord's army. Because he boldly proclaimed the gospel of Christ in Vietnam himself on the battlefield. And I don't know anybody else, I'm sure many others did, but I can appreciate him sharing the gospel of Christ on the battlefield for his Lord, while on the battlefield for his country. And I try to express to him periodically that I appreciate the service that he has rendered his country. And when I see soldiers in restaurants, and when my wife sees soldiers in restaurants, oftentimes we will pay for their lunch, we'll pay for their meal, and others will do the same. I've seen other folks do that, showing appreciation for the sacrifices that have been made by our military personnel, putting their lives on the line for you and for me to try to preserve and protect our freedoms. And I know sometimes we don't have a lot of confidence in the administrations. We don't have a lot of confidence in how things are operated. You know, I think there's nothing too good for our veterans. I think if a man will put his life on the line for his country in military service, he should not be denied or delayed medical treatment. You know, the Veterans Administration VA hospital scandal is just that. It is scandalous. Anybody in the audience ever been in the Army? I know Brother William has. Brother Clifford has, Brother Waller has, Brother Gerald has. Anybody else been in the Army? There's Brother Dennis has. Anybody else? Who is that? Okay, all right. You said that's Teresa? Or? Okay, Teresa, all right. You hard-fighting soldier, you. Yeah, very good, very good. But I appreciate the service all of you have rendered. There were just two of us brothers who enlisted in service. My brother Benny, my oldest brother, served 4 years in the Air Force, and Abraham served in the Army. Brother William served in the Army. Clifford, I didn't know you had been a soldier in Uncle Sam's Army. I knew you were a soldier in the Lord's Army, but very good. I appreciate the service that all of you have rendered for your country, and I appreciate the battles that you are waging presently on behalf of the Lord's army. A lot of controversy surrounding the Bergdahl case, Sergeant Bergdahl. Some disturbing details have emerged. They traded five of the meanest, most vicious, most dangerous terrorists from Guantanamo, from Gitmo, that they could find. These are head terrorists, mean, low down, dirty terrorists who have no regard for human life and no regards for us, the infidels, in that terminology. We traded those POWs, prisoners of war, we traded them, in essence, giving them the African. Now, they're on the other side. They are part of the enemy. And we gave up five terrorists who should have been continued to be held at Guantanamo, from my perspective, for a sergeant in the Army of the United States of America who was of doubtful commitment and quality. Some regard him as being a turncoat, who walked off his post and sought out the enemy. And it seems that he identified himself with them. His comrades went looking for him, according to the report I've received, and were not successful in finding him. And one of the reasons is because he deliberately deserted his post, from what I've heard, and from what the reports I have gathered, and from the research I have done. He was basically a Benedict Arnold. And it just, at least six of his fellow soldiers lost their lives as they were searching for him. Even though some might consider him a coward, even though some might consider him a turncoat, even though some might have considered him worthless, yet his fellow soldiers went to his rescue. Even though some might consider him unworthy, they put their lives on the line trying to rescue him who had walked away from his face. You know, we should be willing to put our lives on the line for our brothers and sisters, our fellow soldiers. You know, we have some, and by no means am I justifying Bergdahl. I think it's a shame that he did what he did, and that at least six lives were lost, maybe more than that, in their efforts to find him. He was definitely, it seems, not a hard-fighting soldier. He abandoned his post. But those of us who are Christians, we are to endure hardness as a good soldier. We are to fight the good fight as Christians. We are to do three things. We are to flee. We are to follow. And we are to fight. That's the triple charge to a soldier heart. We should flee those things that will seek to undermine our spiritual vitality. Covetousness and materialism are mentioned in the overall context of our passage. These are some of the things we should flee, we should run from. We should flee materialism. We should flee covetousness. Run from it. We should flee idolatry. We should flee sexual immorality. There are some things you need to run from. So you have to know when to fight. You have to know when to flee. Brother Gerald reminded us some years ago, you have to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away and know when to run. And a soldier has to know the same thing. There is a time to stand and fight, and there's a time to flee. You don't want to fight when you ought to flee, and you don't want to flee when you ought to fight. You have to know when to flee, when to run, and when to fight. We are to fight the good fight of faith. And it's a good fight because you are in the Lord's army. It is a good fight because of what Jesus did to enable your enrollment. It is a good fight because of the reward that will be received, because of the object that is being sought. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. So we are to fight the good fight of faith. And Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 reminded Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul had fought a good fight. It was a tough fight, but it was a good one. It was a long fight, but it was a good one. It was a bloody fight, but it was a good one. It was a difficult fight, but it was a good fight. And he recognized that he would be amply rewarded for having waged such a good fight. Triple charge to a soldier's heart. Paul says, not only must we flee some things, but there are some things we have to follow after. To follow after, or to follow is to pursue, to run after, to chase down. There are some things we need to diligently run after. We need to chase after. Old California Chrome, yesterday, he was running after the Triple Crown victory. He had won the Kentucky Derby, and he had won the Preakness about 2 weeks ago, and he was now in the Belmont Stakes. And if he could have won the race yesterday, he was in the fight of his career. He would have become the only Triple Crown winner in over 30 years since Seattle Slew and Secretariat, and what's the other one? Who's that? A firm. Seattle Slew and Secretariat. So he was running after the prize. He was chasing after victory. He was seeking with all of his power and with all of his might to win the Triple Crown. Unfortunately, he didn't make it. But he fought a good fight. It was a challenging fight, but it was a good one. And he was following after his dream, or at least the dream of his owners and the dream of his jockey. There are some things we need to try to chase down. We need to run after righteousness. pursue righteousness, chase down righteousness, run after godliness, run after faith, run after love, run after patience, run after meekness. Because those are the things that have value. Those are the things that have significance. Those are the things that are meaningful. Chase, in advertising their financial products and their credit card program, they had a commercial which says, chase what matters. Run after, pursue what matters. We spiritually, we need to follow that same philosophy. We need to chase what matters. Follow after those things which count, those things which are significant, those things which are of value. So many of us chase after the wrong things, but we need to chase after things that are meaningful, things that will enrich our lives, things that will fortify us, things that will enhance our spiritual growth and development, things that will edify and build us up in the most holy faith. Those are the things we should chase after. But so often we chase after the wrong things, things that are worthless, the superficial, those things that are material in nature, to the neglect of pursuing those things that have real spiritual value and significance. Let's take seriously the triple charge to a soldier heart. Let us flee every negative thing that we ought to try to avoid and get away from. Let us fight the good fight of faith. And let us follow, let us chase after those things that will enhance our lives and facilitate our laying hold on eternal life, because we are in the Lord's army and eternal life is in view. A crown of life is to be received. Let us be diligent, let us be faithful. Let us not become prisoners of war, captured by Satan. Let us not become MIAs, soldiers that are missing in action. You know, there are so many soldiers missing in action. There are MIAs everywhere in the Lord's church. There are POWs everywhere. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul spoke of some who are captured by the devil at his will. He can capture them whenever he gets ready. Let's do what we can to reach out to those who've been captured, to reach out to those who are missing in action. If you're here and you have not been the kind of soldier that you should and want to recommit yourself to being a good soldier in the Lord's army, if you want to re-up and re-enlist, you can do it through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you are not yet a soldier, if you are not yet a Christian, why not become one? Why not become one tonight through obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord? You've heard it, and I believe you believe it. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and the Lord will automatically enroll you or re-enroll you in his great army. Will you come as we together stand and as we sing?
Jesus is tenderly calling to them, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will thou roam, Father and Father away?